Welcome to Comedians Talking Sports presents Comedians Talking Baseball, our weekly MLB recap podcast, where myself and comedian Mike Bridenstine sit down and talk about the week that was in Major League Baseball, nerd out on some stats, and have a good time with you. Mike Bridenstine, how are you, buddy?
What's up, man? This is the best sport! Baseball? Fuck your sport. This is the best sport.
I agree, man. I like that. And you're starting off with enthusiasm. Sorry we're coming to you a little late. Today is Tuesday, September 6th, my brother's 19th birthday.
Oh, happy one niner.
Little Shawnee boy turning 19.
Okay.
He's at the University of Illinois, and I know he's going to have some fun tonight because Champaign, Illinois. Champaign, Urbana.
He got into Illinois, huh?
Yeah, he did.
What was his backup? Iowa? Iowa was his backup?
Iowa was in the top five. I think Michigan State, actually. He's going to go to Illinois Michigan State. He chose Illinois.
Big Ten boy. I like it.
Big Ten kid. After you got waitlisted at Notre Dame and Northwestern, who gets waitlisted with a 4.6 GPA? That's insane.
I don't know if you're a college football fan, but not a good weekend for either team.
That's true. Yeah, he did have a bad. And Illinois whooped Murray State, though. I kind of do hate the first week of college football.
You don't know anything.
I don't get into it until like a month later. I just can't get into that first weekend.
But there's some big games this weekend.
There was, though. I watched a little of USC and Alabama. Alabama looked great. They always do.
The clear number one.
They are the cream of the crop, as usual. But yeah, my brother's 19, and that's the age you could get into bars there. So I'm sure he's going to have a great time.
Oh, he's going to get
it. Sean, if you're listening,
he's going to get a
Paula. Which he should be. All of his 19-year-old college friends should be our target demographic.
I got busted at 19 for alcohol.
Did you? I didn't because I was
possession of
in
alcohol
Chicago.
Under legal age.
That's the official.
Man, when you get a $200 Paula.
Ah, I'll call it Paula, $200. I had a cousin who got two at the University of Kansas within his first semester, and then transferred two. Take a guess.
Wait, what would you, Northwestern?
I had a cousin that got two underage drinking tickets.
Oh, God.
Paulas, as you called them.
Yeah, yeah.
At the University of Kansas in his first semester as a freshman there.
Did you go to Iowa? Did you go to Iowa?
Yep, he ended up transferring to Iowa.
Iowa's the best school.
I was like, we'll take you. Come on board.
Dylan, Iowa, best school, right, buddy?
Oh, is Dylan an Iowa guy, too?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. All right, well,
Donkey didn't go to Iowa. He should have.
I mean, we all should have gone to Iowa, according to you, Brido. So, yeah, we're coming at you a little late. It was Labor Day week and some craziness. Me and you and I tried to record yesterday. Oh, by the way, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at Comedy Sports Pod. Give myself a follow at Joe Kilgallen. And give this beautiful man over here a follow.
I'm at Brido.
At Brido.
This is the earliest in the morning we've ever done this.
I know. It's 10:25 Los Angeles time, Pacific Standard Time for you kids out there. Yeah, a little early. So hopefully we got enough energy for you. But I was a wreck yesterday. On Saturday night, I went to a comedian's party. These two great sisters, the Putterboss sisters, who are a hilarious comedy duo, had a party. And their roommate, B's great too. And Megan Gailey and I went, who's going to be on the podcast in a couple days. We're going to do an NFL preview.
Oh.
And I got wasted.
Yeah.
Like, out of nowhere. You know what it was? They didn't have
booze.
Did you eat? I had so much beer in me that when I started to eat, it wasn't enough to overtake that. And it wasn't even beer. It was the combination of stuff I had. Get this. We were pounding bottles of champagne, just putting away.
That's a different kind of drunk, too.
It was. It was like a very celebratory, I feel like I won something.
They call it the bubbly, I mean, for good reason.
Yeah, I felt bubbly. That's a good call.
I think that different things give you a different drunk. I'm sure a scientist would tell me that's not true, but I feel
I would disagree with that scientist.
You're usually celebrating when you have champagne.
You know, and
you don't drink pure sadness champagne like, I got to get over this breakup.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to pop a bottle.
Pop. Because it's fun. You pop the bottle.
Yeah.
It's fizzy. It's sugar.
It really is.
It's not the same as bellying up to a bar with a whiskey and it's like being like, oh, life is shit, I tell you.
No, we were starting during the daytime. It was champagne, you're right. It's got that like festive thing. We're outside in this balcony. Yeah, it was a very, let's drink these fast, it felt like. And I don't think anyone said, let's drink these fast. I just was doing that.
Sure.
And then we walked down to the liquor store two blocks down and got... Because everyone was throwing in $5, felt like a high school party.
Yeah, it's fun when the party is close to the liquor store.
Right? And then we walked back with a 30-pack of Bud Light, a bottle of Fireball, and something else. Do we get more, like vodka or something? And then
I'm going to guess vodka.
I had a gummy that might not have been an actual gummy. You know what I mean?
I have some of those in a drawer right there.
Threw me off.
If you want to repeat
yesterday. It was a delicious treat. No, I don't. And because of that... It was weird. You ever have like a hangover bomb, I call it?
Hangover bomb.
It's like a detonator. It's one of those, you wake up and you're like, oh, I'm fine. because I did sober up at the end of the night. I drank a lot of water and all that stuff. I was safe, kids. That's important. And then I woke up in the morning and I'm like, oh, I'm good. I feel good. You know, but then after being up for like a couple hours, all of a sudden it hit me.
Okay.
That's what I mean. It comes off like a
bomb.
Like a bomb. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just had a detonator on it.
I know.
Said we're going to go off at noon.
Yeah. Do you ever get it behind your eyes, that thing where it's just like.
Or you get like that tunnel vision type where it's all blurry?
Yeah. Your temples are caving. Your brain is caving.
No,
in.
I get that. That's bad. I get the worst hangovers. That's it for me.
Do you get cold sweats?
That was a wake up.
You ever get cold sweats? All the toxins are coming out of your pores?
No, I don't think I've ever got quite a cold sweat. I got like a sweaty sweats where I'm just feeling like a fat pig.
Do you ever drink off your hangover?
Yeah, I've done that a few times, but that doesn't always work for me.
Oh, here's what you do.
It feels like it makes me sick again.
Kids, here's what you do. As Mace said, never been arrested for nothing domestic. So, what you do, you get a 6 to 12 pack of Bud Lights. Simple, watery, Coors Light, Miller Light.
All great beers.
You drink two fast.
Really?
And
a little
then
hair
you
of
just,
the dog action?
And then you just kind of nurse.
I think that's a smart move. That's
or one
for me
Bloody
in the past.
Mary should do
yeah,
it.
Like a shower in the beer.
Yeah.
Beer in the shower, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's my other hangover remedy for you kids out there listening. This is what you do. When you wake up in the morning, especially one of those bad hangovers, you know, the ones where you know before you even fully open your eyes, oh, this is going to be bad. It's troubles on the horizon type of deal.
Is the one where you're remembering what you did?
Well, it's just like you kind of slowly, you open up one eye first. You're kind of easing into your waking up. You know, you just know it's like, I've got some trouble behind me here. And we got the sirens going in the background.
They're coming for you.
Here's what I do whenever that happens to me. I lie there for another eight and a half hours, right? You just take the day off. You wake up around 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. You masturbate. You have an ice cream sandwich. And you get back out there and do it all over again.
A hangover tug is well worth your time.
Oh, absolutely. Because, no, think about it. You don't feel sick when you're about to.
No. No, that's like.
You have to jerk off
when you're
hungover. It's
this one little vacation from your hangover.
And it's perfect.
You're about to have euphoria in this one little block where you feel terrible.
It's a 20-second timeout from your hangover.
Yes, you take a 20.
Yeah, you got your. Yeah,
you take a knee.
You take those timeouts. You take a knee. You ride out that fourth quarter. All right, this has been a great start to our baseball podcast. No, thanks to everyone who's been listening.
I should
again,
also mention
iTunes. It goes a long way.
I haven't drank in like 2 weeks.
I got it. I'm going to take a little bit of a break.
Sabbatical?
I had a rough Friday and Saturday, or Saturday and Sunday, because it was Labor Day weekend. Saturday and Sunday, I went hard back-to-back days. Caught up with some old friends.
Can I tell you something?
Saturday and then Sunday the same.
You got this kid coming, you know?
Yeah.
I heard that you don't even want to drink when that baby comes because those hangovers plus that baby schedule is going to be brutality.
Well, I'm a
You're
jerk.
You're still a young man, but.
I know, I'm a jerk in the sense that when I'm like drunk and passed out, my wife can't wake me up. So I can't be that when we have a baby.
Oh,
like
my
if
God.
It's my turn, I can't be like.
You're going to have a wife or a baby.
Yeah, they'll both be gone because she'll wake me up being like, Holly's at the door. She's like, got to let her out. She's got to pee or shit or something. And like in the middle of the night, sometimes my dog has to get up. It's so annoying. And if I'm passed out, if I've been drinking, I'm not getting up.
You're sleeping
and
hard.
She's mad. And then in the morning, I'll wake up and she'll be like, do you remember last night? And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, yeah, I yelled at you for like 25 minutes and you were not making sense. And I'm like, well, leave me the fuck alone. I'm like, but you can't be that way with the babies around.
My wife can't wake me up if I've drank either.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm going to get it in gear and everything like that. Right now, interesting thing I wanted to lead off with you. Clayton Kershaw is set to come back this Friday.
Isn't that amazing?
Against the Marlins, the team that you saw him pitch against and he got lit up.
Oh, right.
Remember?
Yeah. But they're fucking done.
This Marlins team is done. It's sad because I was hoping they would get. I wanted the Marlins and the Pirates to get the last two wild cards. And they're still in striking
of course.
Distance.
A
they're
new
three
team,
and a half
yeah.
games out. But I wanted it to be different.
They're below
the
500.
Giants and Cardinals. Are they below 500 now?
So the Nationals.
I thought they were at it. But maybe
the Nationals, Cubs, and Dodgers are leading their divisions. Other than that, just the Mets, Cardinals, and Giants are above 500. The Giants have the worst record in baseball since the All-Star break. They're worse than the Twins.
So you want to face the Giants in the playoffs?
Or you I want to face the Giants right now if possible.
Yeah, can we just skip?
But like having Mad Bum and Cueto is always horrifying. The Cardinals are just like home run monsters right now. They're the Orioles. The Mets have no, like, who's healthy? Thor and Bartolo?
That's
and then
it,
they had
really.
This like Luda guy who's
DeGrom is not out.
DeGrom could be out. Matz could be out.
He's been looking very average lately. I think Matz is going to be out.
Yeah.
They shut down Zach Wheeler, but he wasn't really factoring
Thor's
in.
Got a bone floating around in his arm.
Yeah, it's really weird.
But
he's the only one that really scares me. Colomy
but they're
could
hot as shit. They have nothing to lose. And they're scheduled.
Neil Walker's out, too?
Neil Walker's out for the season.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But they still have Cespedes. They still have, like,
Granderson.
Who knows what he's going to do. And I believe the rest of the way, they only have a series against the Nationals. That's the only team that they play the final, like, 24 games that's against a team above 500.
So do you like the Mets to catch the Cardinals or the Giants?
I think the Giants are going to drop out, unless they fucking figure
this
out.
The wild card game could be Mets-Cardinals, and we'll face the winner.
That is crazy, right?
Because it'll be that's going to be high. That's going to be... That's must-see TV.
Right.
Because Cubs-Mets rematch, Cubs-Cardinals rematch. Either way, it's a rematch in the playoffs.
Right. But Cubs-Giants would be huge, too.
Oh, sure. Cubs-anybody's going to be huge.
Yeah, yeah.
But really, I'm okay with facing the Giants because other than Mad Bum, I'm not afraid of anyone they have.
Johnny Cueto. Johnny Cueto's good.
Yeah, he's good. But what'd he do in September and of October last year? I think
He won the World Series.
Did you see his numbers, Bridenstine?
Yeah, we're bad.
Yes, that's
he was
what
real bad
to
for
say.
The Royals.
Because he has what I call the Dusty Baker effect, which Max Scherzer is going to have next year. Max Scherzer is leading in innings pitched by about 20 innings over the next closest guy. How many of those games has he needed to still be in there?
Yeah.
That's what he does. There's been plenty of games where I've looked and I'm like, Matt Scherzer. I think I said
Max. Matt.
I was thinking of the Cubs' fourth outfielder.
Steven Matt Scherzer.
Yeah.
Matt Caesar.
Yeah, I think I said Max Caesar for a second there. But Scherzer, I've seen a few games where I'm like, he could have came out an inning earlier, and he should have. Why did you have him go 8 when your team is up 8-1?
Do you think that's why Strasburg is on the quote-unquote DL? They're just hiding him from Dusty Baker?
Yes, because that's what GMs do. They grab Baker because they're like, he's a player's manager. Players love playing for him.
The pitcher doesn't want to come out, and Baker's like, yeah, you're not coming out.
No, yeah, he's the only one that you could win him over. Most managers are smart enough to, as soon as they cross that third baseline or first baseline, depending on their home or away, they point already. They don't do that. I'm going to talk to you and feel you out. They point that way the pitcher can't talk him out of it. It's like, sorry, I already pointed. You know, good game. I got to let you go, though. And I think here's how Dusty Baker keeps getting hired. Players love him, but the same way you would love a boss that lets you get away with murder. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean he's a good boss. It just means you get away with some stuff.
He's also managed Barry Bonds. He managed Sammy Sosa. He's got some legends.
No,
under
he's definitely his belt. He has an impressive
Joey Votto
resume. Also, though, he's a guy that from October of 2002 to October 2003 lost a World Series, an All Star game, and an NLCS, all in a fashion in which you could solely credit him as the reason those teams lost. He also took the Reds to the playoffs in 2010.
Rally monkey, Steve Bartman.
The Reds went to his last year with the Reds. You know they were in the playoffs, right?
The Reds had a little run there.
Yeah, they were in the playoffs, and he got fired. How many managers get fired after their team is in the playoffs? Not many. So there's clearly something there. I think these teams hire Baker, and then after getting a closer look, they go, oh, my God. Oh, my God, what does he do? But they still get results.
He's got to be an upgrade from Matt Williams, though.
Yes, and that's why they hired him. They went the opposite way. Teams will do this. The Cubs hired Lou Piniella after Dusty Baker because they were like, Dusty Baker was too easy on his players. He'd let Sammy Sosa run a boombox. They were doing all this. They were goofing around. They were playing, you know, grab ass in the locker room. They were playing with nips. You know, they're having fun. Too much fun. And we need a hard ass. So they hired Lou Piniella, which is what dumb general managers like Jim Hendry do. Hendry had a couple good years. I don't really want to dog
it. I liked
too much,
the idea of Piniella.
I like that we both all like the idea of Piniella. This old school guy
tossing bases,
was famous for giving like these
2001
pep talks.
Mariners.
Yeah, 2001 Mariners. A-Rod loved him. Apparently, A-Rod was struggling in his like rookie year. He had like a real mini slump. He won a batting title basically in his rookie year, but he had one little mini slump, and he went out and just said to A-Rod, "I love you, kid. You're going to be a star." That's all I said to him. That was his pep talk for him, which worked for A-Rod. He's the type of guy that needs that "I love you, kiss my ass" thing. Freddie Garcia in his rookie year. Remember Freddie Garcia had a good 5-6 years as a pitcher, won the World Series with the White Sox.
Yeah.
Freddie Garcia was struggling in his rookie year, and he came out to the mound and said one word. He said, "Tacoma," and then walked back. Tacoma is the Mariners' AAA affiliate. So that was his way of saying, keep this shit up and you're going back down. And then he ended up righting the ship and pitching great. So
but
some guys
you,
need the kick
pick,
in the ass. Some
can
guys
you picture
don't.
Madden doing that, though?
No, that's just not his style. And I like Madden's style better because what he does is he'll hear, he even says, like, Jason Hamill tried to argue to stay into a game like a couple weeks ago. He's like, I'll hear you out, but at the end of the day, it's my decision.
Yeah.
It's my decision. I'll be honest with you why. And I'm okay with guys fighting for it. It's natural. You want to stay in the game. Why not? He lets players be themselves.
Yeah.
And then he just tries to get the most out of that player by letting them be them. Where a lot of managers that try to, like, shave your mustache, do this, do. Yeah. Like, no, let's, this is a long season. He gets that.
Yeah, yeah. It is a fucking long season.
We're going to skip batting practice a few days.
Yeah.
Which I agree with.
He thinks batting practice is overrated. I think Bryce Harper said it was overrated.
I think he's completely right. Think about these guys are playing a whole game before they play a whole game.
And that's why Tim Tebow's workout didn't mean shit.
Yeah, it doesn't. By the way, the scouts, I talked about this when I went solo last week. The scouts were, some of the scouting reports were hilarious. You know what the one said that was the funniest? I know you're going to get a kick out of?
What's that?
He said that Tim Tebow looked like an actor trying to be a baseball player.
I did see that, yeah.
And a lot of them like were saying...
As a movie?
Yeah, his scouting report reads like his football scouting report. He's strong, he's fast, but he can't throw for shit. That was awesome.
He couldn't hit an off-speed pitch. I guess the Braves want him.
Which, to me, they're trying to say we don't want it as... like to be a spectacle or anything like that.
No, they legit like had their big scout there and everything.
Yeah.
They like football, baseball guys. They had Dion.
See, Atlanta knows he's a, I think they, I get why any team where Atlanta would sign him or the Rockies.
I get why anybody would sign him. I understand why. I are you proud that the Cubs were not there?
Yes. Atlanta, San Francisco, and Chicago were the three that weren't there. I was proud of that. Yeah, Oakland, San Francisco, and the Cubs were the only three. I just think any scout would look at him and be like, no, it's a waste of a signing. But if you're a team like Atlanta or like Colorado, why not? It's a minor league deal.
He's going to have a baseball card,
if he looks awful in the minors, you cut him. It's low risk, high reward if he does hit. I get any team that would sign him. I just think it's stupid.
What's the over-under on him hitting above 202?
The Jordan line?
The Jordan line.
Not the Mendoza,
but the celebrity, the Jordan line.
I say he hits below it. I don't think he's a better baseball
player than Michael
Jordan.
Four homers, 202. He's not a better athlete, that's for sure.
No way, yeah, of course not.
Is he faster than Jordan?
No, I was talking about
Jordan was
this.
Deceptively fast, right?
He was so fast. I read like all this stuff. They said he ran a 4.340, they believe.
Coach he's got Keen that Smith stride, like that Usain Bolt stride.
And they think the fastest, because someone's saying LeBron was faster. And I go, I really don't believe that, because people forget the 80s Jordan highlights. He was so quick. He was like lightning. He led the league in scoring and steals all the time for good reason.
I don't know
so
where my
quick.
Copy of it is, but I have the Ultimate Jordan. Lest you forget, go to YouTube and just type in Michael Jordan highlights. You have forgotten, you listening to this, just how good Michael Jordan was.
So good.
Unless, okay, gets a pass, out of bounds, falling out of bounds, tosses it to Scotty. Scotty throws him a chest pass while he's getting fouled, does a 360 in the air, throws it up.
On Bill Laimbeer.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, his highlight reel is, especially Michael Jordan Come Fly With Me. If you that's a DVD now. It was a VHS. I just watched
on the
VHS.
Ultimate Jordan, you get all of those. You get Michael Jordan's Playground. You get Come Fly With Me.
I have all
me,
my lost
his
second
airness.
Disc, though. I'm so mad I lost the second disc.
I loaned
that.
Mine Let's to Eric Andre, and I don't know what ever happened to it.
Remember, because I'd fall asleep watching this. It's called the Ultimate Jordan DVD thing.
Yeah.
And the menu screen had this music. It was like, dun, 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 dun.
My favorite part is one of the special features. They got the top 10 passes, top 10
top
dunks.
10, all the, yeah.
There's one dunk against Patrick Ewing. Like, oh, what a move by Jordan. That one on the baseline.
Yeah, where
he dunks.
He went forward, then went back out, and then turned real quick.
Right. If you watch that dunk in slow motion, he goes up, makes physical contact with Ewing, and like as he's going down, and then either he defies gravity and goes back up, or it's some sort of like eye trick that I can't figure out. Like, did he bump him and that sent him accelerating
I remember
upwards?
That. And his, like, just above his elbow hits the rim as he slams it down.
It's bananas
through the rim. I know he's the greatest. I could do a whole podcast about Michael Jordan weekly and have new stuff to talk about. He's the best. So yeah, back to
Tebow.
Well, yeah, I'm over the Tebow stuff, but it's with the playoff pitcher in the National League right now.
Yeah.
I'm at a point as a Cubs fan, though, where I just say, bring it on. I don't care who we face. I'm that confident in us.
If the Mets are in feeling. The wild card, you have to assume that the Mets will take the game because of Thor.
Which is great, because that means he can't pitch till game 3 if we face them in the first round.
And
I say bring him on. Bring on any team.
I think it would be nice to beat the Mets in the first round.
Get a little redemption, have that confidence going into the NLCS.
I think that'd be great.
Oh, I was talking about Scherzer.
Yeah.
I just think he's pitched too many innings. He's still very lethal this year, but he's going to fall off. I brought that up because Cueto was a guy who pitched under Dusty Baker for years. Cueto's still awesome. Cueto looked good the other day. I just don't fear him in a playoff game the way I fear Madison Bumgarner in a playoff game.
Right, because he's been there before. He has that October confidence.
And our lineup has a little struggles against some lefties. Not as badly as the Dodgers struggle against lefties, though.
No.
I almost think if the Cubs play the Dodgers in the NLCS or in the NLDS, you start Lester game one, definitely. If it's at home, you got to go Hendricks game two.
Man, I don't
I figure out a way to get that.
I don't like that Kershaw Rod back, Jusinski. That Kershaw, Maeda, Rich Hill seems to be pitching well.
Is he pitching okay?
That's a scary team, the Dodgers. Puig has the fear of God in him right now.
Is he going to be an everyday starter now that he's back up?
He's been fucking great.
Since he came back?
Yes.
Has it been three games?
And Josh Reddick sucks.
It's been three games, hasn't it? Reddick's been terrible. Reddick was batting 195 at the series I was at a weekend ago.
Puig is back.
So Puig's back.
How many games has it been?
Isn't this kind of sample size
thing? Three games.
So he looked good in three games, so he's back. Okay. I could see it, though. Remember?
Small sample size,
and he's probably out to prove something.
He's got a month to remember he has a bad attitude.
Yeah. But you got to look at the other way. And I know we're Cubs bias on this podcast, or we're at least we tell it from a Chicago Cubs fan's point of view.
It'd be
It would be dishonest. If you're a Dodgers fan, do you want to face the Cubs?
I don't want to face the Cubs if I'm anybody.
Three of the top five ERAs are in the NL are Chicago Cub players.
Most underrated pitcher right now is also John Lackey. John Lackey's WAR, FIP, and ERA are all top 15 in the league.
And I love what he's done in the playoffs in his career.
Turns out,
he's got great. His overall playoff numbers are really, really solid.
And we don't have to face him.
Yeah, we don't have to face him. Yeah, I remember last year he shut us out in game one.
Yeah.
He threw a complete game shutout.
Oh, I hated him when he was on the Cardinals.
We did beat him in game four, but he was on 3 days rest. Yeah. So I give him some slack because one of the Cardinals pitchers were injured, so they brought him back.
Plus, he's got experience. He won
a World Series his rookie year. He pitched with the Angels in 2002.
I don't like Hamill right now, and I don't like Montgomery in the playoffs, but I would go those four guys.
I might face Montgomery against the Dodgers, though, because they really their numbers against lefties are like, wow.
Do you really think we're pitching Montgomery in the...
No, but what about Zninski or whatever his weird name is?
Z-Man?
He's been amazing since he's came up.
I've been very happy with their bullpen lately. Like, even no Strope, no Rundown.
Yeah, exactly. Travis Wood definitely needs like 3 or 4 days off, though.
Yeah, but the bullpen has looked good lately.
It has. They've got the Cubs really... I can't think of a weakness other than they struggle a little bit against some lefty pitching.
Right.
I've noticed that there's been a few starts against lefties.
Right,
like,
if that's your problem,
why aren't we beating them up a little bit better?
I mean, compare that to the problems of like so many other teams. Like, name me a team, and I'll tell you like they're like.
What's the Nationals' flaw?
The Nationals, Bryce Harper has regressed. Strasburg is a huge question mark. They don't have a lot of question marks, but Dusty, you can't trust Dusty. Has Dusty ever won? No.
And usually you could point to him as the
cause. I know you could say Madden hasn't won either, but.
But what Madden's done, Madden's never had a situation where you're like, that was clearly Madden's fault they lost.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Madden's had teams.
He's gotten too cute.
He's gone to the World Series. I mean, there's a couple times where Madden gets too cute, but not come playoff time.
Right.
Come playoff time, I was really impressed with him actually last year. He yanked Hamill early twice because he just was like, I didn't like what I saw. I pulled him. You know?
I think that I'm glad that the Nationals and the healthy Dodgers will play each other probably in the first round.
Yes.
And then we can hopefully take care of whatever. I mean, The wild card teams, that's just weak. It's like weak. The American League has like, there will be, there's four teams in the AL East who are above 500. There's three teams in the AL Central above 500. There's three teams in the AL West. The National League has.
We only have
six teams above 500.
15, that's incredible.
The Rockies are still in it. They're below 500.
They've got a really weak schedule down the stretch. If you're a Rockies fan,
they've got to play the Dodgers and Giants.
There's some light. But other than that, there's only two. I think they have two series. I was reading this just yesterday on What website was I on? Where they were saying Rocky's...
I'll be right back. I'm going to tell you because I just wrote this down.
Okay, cool. Come on back. I'll talk. That's why we're partners, you know? I fill in the gap. Yeah, the playoff picture, it's incredible because last year in the NL Central, you had juggernauts. The Cardinals won 100 games. They had the best record in all of baseball. The Pirates had the second best record in all of baseball, 98 wins. The Cubs had the third best record in all of baseball, 97. And then the Royals in the American League, I think, had 97 as well. So maybe they were tied with the Cubs for third best record.
I got it.
You got it. What's the deal?
They play the Giants, Cardinals, Dodgers, Giants.
The Rockies do?
Yeah. So they have...
Well, the article I read was BS.
They have five games against the Giants, three or four against the Dodgers, and three against the Cardinals.
Okay, well...
They have other series in there, but...
I saw something where it said that the majority of the stretch is against teams below 500. So maybe... I don't know why.
I don't know if it is.
Sound like it. I mean, there's...
It is a majority
against...
There's
about 28 games left for most teams, 27, 28.
I mean, God forbid...
Because we go into the first week of October again this year.
If you are above 500, chances are a majority of your games are against teams below 500.
Oh, yeah, because it's the National League.
Yeah.
You just named all the teams that are above 500.
They play three of the six teams that are above 500. Everyone has an easy schedule going forward. And the Mets have the easiest. The Mets are the only team that plays one series against a team above 500.
So the Mets are a game out of that last wild card spot. The Giants are half a game up on the Cardinals.
That's crazy.
And the Cardinals are a game up. And the Pirates had a rough weekend.
Pirates
four
are
and a half
Pirates
out now.
Are looking
Miami's
bad.
Miami's five out. Yeah. Pirates and Miami have dipped below 500. So there are only one, two. Yeah, you're right. There are six teams above 500 in the National League. It's crazy.
The Marlins were
the
done.
The Rockies are six and a half. The Rockies have no shot. What the hell was I reading?
Well, six and a half back. Okay. So Madden says Madden said this. I always thought it was like five games you're in it. Madden says seven. It's a race if you're seven.
Seven out at this point?
With yeah.
4 weeks left in the
Probably
season?
Probably not because, the Rockies.
I think you have to be, I would say five or six because you could pick up two games a week. It's possible if you're playing good ball, you could pick up two games a week.
Well, you're playing all in your division. Well, I guess three-fourths in your division now too.
You have to play 700 ball. The final three to four weeks.
A lot of these guys.
Six games out.
I mean, yeah.
It's possible. It happens. But for this, the way I look at it, too, is you have to look like for the Rockies, though. So they're six and a half out, which, look, that is possible.
It's possible.
But look at it this way. You got to go over Miami. You got to go over Pittsburgh. You got to go over the Mets. So you have to win at a 70%, 65, 70% clip, probably. I'd say 70.
You got to take all your series.
Yeah, you have to win every series.
Yeah.
You can't afford to lose a series.
No.
And you have to hope for these other teams to fall, too. Well, that's what makes that...
Is it possible that a team below 500 could make the postseason?
Didn't it happen 1 year with the Padres and the NL West?
I don't know.
Well, speculate while I Google that.
Speculate if it... I just think if all of these teams are tanking in the National League, that it just sucks that they're... I mean, like, last year the wild card sucked because it was the second-best team playing the third-best team.
Yeah, you felt cheated because you knew...
There's parity in the American League. I like everything that's happening in the American League. Like, all those teams, you have no idea what's going on. The Cubs are the Cubs are the dominant team. The Nationals and Dodgers and... I mean, who knows where the Dodgers would be if they were healthy at all. They have 27 players on the disabled list this year. They've had 15 starting pitchers this year. They have four rookie starting pitchers in a row going this week before Kershaw comes back.
It's crazy. Kershaw, there's nothing he could do to win the Cy Young, right? He missed way too much time.
I think that if you're out for 2 months, then you don't deserve it.
Yeah, you don't
even
deserve
though if you
it.
Have, even if you were dominant.
What if he, like, he's got, what, let's see, he starts Friday, so he's got five starts he can make. What if he goes 5-0 with five no hitters? Then would you get it? You get it then?
Okay, there is
That's
a way.
That's the only circumstance I can think of. I'm looking right now. This is going to take way too much research. I'm sure it had to have happened before. In 2005, the NL West was won by the San Diego Padres, who were 82-80, one game over.
What year?
In 2005, the Padres were 82-80. They won. They were one game over 500.
They won the division.
They won the division with a record of 82-80.
Is that the worst ever?
I think that has to be. I got to dig deeper, obviously. I don't have enough time.
I was amazed 2003, the Cubs won the division with 88 wins. That's crazy.
That happens more than you'd think. The next year in 04, they had 89
wins
and lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the They were chasing the Astros, who made a really big trade. Was
remember
that
the Astros?
Got Carlos Beltran, I think, and then just ran away from us.
2004?
And then in 98 when we were chasing, they got Randy Johnson and ran away from us.
They had Roy Oswalt.
The 04 Cubs should have won the wild card by 6 games. They ended up losing it by one or two. Do you remember that final series?
I think they lost it.
I got to look that up.
Morgan Ensberg is in there.
Oh, yeah.
Or did he have that? There was that 05 that he had that. They went to the World Series, right?
The Astros did in 05, not in 04.
They lost to the White Sox?
Yep. They got swept. I always called that the closest sweep in baseball history. And what I mean by that was that every game was a one-run game, even though they got swept. It was just, they were nail-biters. I think there was 2 walk-offs in it as well.
All right, that White Sox team was just start to finish not going to lose for whatever reason, just to rub it in my face, because in 2004, the Red Sox won the World Series for the first time since 1913 or whatever the fuck, 18.
And then as...
So Cubs get demoralized.
Yeah, 04, the Red Sox won. 05, the White Sox won.
Then the Cardinals won 06.
What a real slap in the face.
It was a real slap.
Why can't... This is where Baseball Reference sucks a little bit. I'm asking for the standings in 04, and instead of giving me like how standings should be, NL West, East, and this, they're giving me, here's all 30 teams bunched together.
Well, because
nobody
the wrong
reads
thing.
Baseball stats like that.
You hit the wrong thing, right?
No, I think I just hit standings. I clicked on standings for 04. Mm. Oh, I got to do 2004 NL. That's how you got to do it. Either way, though, that's just a dumb way to... Here we go. Here's the traditional America. Thank you. East Division, Central Division, West Division. No, they had it all like, here's the standings in 2004. Cardinals, first place. Red Sox, second place. No, that's not how that reads, stupid ass. They're like giving me like, if it was one league. It's not one league. We've talked about maybe it'd be better off if it was one league, because then you give yourself a better chance of having the best teams face off in the World Series. If there was no American League or National
just
League.
Just do like a... Well...
If it was just one league and you seeded it.
I can't remember. Did you want that for the NFL and for the NBA too?
I wanted it for all sports because it gives you a better chance of having the best teams facing off in the championship, which is what you should want as a sports fan.
Wow.
Think about all the years in the NBA.
The Western Conference.
We're just down.
Oh,
the Lakers versus the Nets. Are the Nets the second best team in basketball, or were they the seventh or eighth best team?
How many
team
times
in basketball?
Has like the NFC championship been like the real thing?
Especially in the 80s. I was looking in the 80s. I forgot how dominant the NFC was in the NFL.
Oh, it would be like Cowboys Niners, and that would be like.
That's
know.
The Super Bowl. And then the next, yeah. You know, like when the Bears beat the Patriots in 85, granted, the 85 Bears would have dominated anybody,
yeah.
But they won 46-10. And like all the Super Bowls were like.
Did they lose
blowouts.
To the Dolphins that year?
Yeah, in the regular season.
That's it so crazy. Isn't that insane that it was the Dolphins? It just happened to be the Dolphins.
Okay, wild card detailed standings.
2004?
The Cubs in 04 finished 80. They're in third place, actually, 89 and 73. The Cardinals that year, good God, 105 and 57.
105?
Yeah. Then the Astros were 92 and 70. So
they had
finish?
Pujols. They had some, yeah.
So the Cubs ended up finishing 3 games back of the wild card. But I remember in the final week, they were tied. And you know who blew three?
The Cardinals won 105 games.
Yeah, the Astros and Cubs were tied for the wild card in the final week of that season. And LaTroy Hawkins blew 4 games, I want to say. At least 3 in the final stretch. And they were like in a row. The Cubs got swept by the Mets to end the season.
Ugh.
And they finished 3 games out of the wild card. That was a dusty.
Okay, I want the Mets in the first round.
Yeah, bring them on. Well, they just happened to. The Mets didn't do shit that year as a team. They were 71 and 91. They just played spoiler in a big way. I remember. Did they have? I can't remember who they had that year that was any good. Might have been a.
After the Cardinals and White Sox, who do you hate the most?
Cardinals, White Sox. Who do I hate the most? I have to go with the Mets.
Mets. I think. Yeah.
My dad always hated the Mets because of 69. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like them. And then they swept us last year with very unlikable players.
Daniel Murphy.
Is he? We got to talk about him. He's got to be on something, right?
I think he might have just figured something out.
Really? You don't think he looks kind of big?
Do you think he's on the juice?
I think he's on the juice. I think he's on the HGH. I think he's on the uppers, the downers, the inners, and the outers.
The greenies, the blues.
He is on it all. I am going to give you his stats right now, and we're going to see if this makes sense.
It doesn't. I already know, and the answer is no.
He is now 31 years old. He was 31 the whole season, turned 31 April 1st.
Prime of his career.
And before this year, his high in home runs was 14.
That's true.
Which was last year.
Yeah.
In 2014, he had 9 home runs. In 2013, he had 13 home runs. Whoa, how many games was he playing? Played 161 games a year at 697 plate appearances, 13 home runs. OPS of 733.
He figured something out?
Yeah, he figured out how to put a needle in his ass. 25 home runs he has this year. Look at this OPS. His high in OPS for a full season before, and I'm saying full season because his rookie year he had 871 in 49 games. But in any game that was a full season, I'm going over 110 games, his high in OPS was 770. This year, 976.
Yeah, the steroid.
A couple points ahead of Chris
Bryant.
Steroids
doesn't help him field.
No, he's still a terrible defensive player because he's gotten bigger. He's bulkier looking to me.
He's never been a good fielder.
He's got a big, fat face.
I don't like him.
I don't like him at all. I'm going to dig deeper and see if I can find pictures of his rookie year to now and see if there's like a weight transformation. You know?
Yeah.
Because some of these guys go under the radar.
What about Arrieta? You know, he could have had like
didn't get bigger. I looked it up.
He could have had an Arrieta type of...
figuring it out?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, look, that's possible. But to me, I'll have to look at film. Arrieta had a more complicated delivery with Baltimore.
They tried simplified to make his him mechanics. Not throw across his body.
Yeah, they simplified his mechanics in Chicago, and they let him be him. In Baltimore, he wasn't allowed to throw the cutter because Buck Showalter has a problem with the cut fastball. He believes it leads to injuries.
He doesn't like good pitchers either.
Yeah, he's a weird guy. Buck Showalter's to me.
People love
been,
him. People say he's a great strategist.
He's Doug Collins in baseball.
No.
Remember Doug Collins in the NBA? He's a guy that gets your team close to being really good, and then you get rid of him, and then the next guy comes in, and your team's awesome.
So they need a Phil
some
Jackson
people are like,
to come in.
It's still kind of Doug Collins' team, even though Phil Jackson came in and had them doing Zen-like shit or something like that.
So is Joe Torre the Phil Jackson in New York?
Could be, yeah. Could be. I wouldn't disagree with that at all. All right, let's go to a couple of the races here. MVP race, has anything changed since we last talked? Do we still like Donaldson in the American League and Bryant in the National League?
Trout is the best player, hands down. I think he leads in WAR.
Back ahead in WAR.
And he leads in hitting, too. He's like ahead of David Ortiz now in like weighted on base. Wubba. And I think that his OPS plus is like the best in the league. He leads in everything. No matter what you want to, you know, he's everything. So you have to decide.
His WAR is now 8.2.
That's
Bryant is 7.7. So he's really Bryant didn't have a good last three or four games.
If you have an 8 WAR and your team is terrible,
Donaldson's a 7.1. Corey Seager's up to a 7.1. What is Seager doing? Is there just that much value at the shortstop position? Where if you're a really elite,
I don't know. I mean, he's been slumping. He almost hit for the cycle yesterday.
I mean, look, his numbers are good, but like. He's hitting .316, yeah, but batting
his fielding must be great because his hitting is not elite, but you know
it's very very good.
His hitting he's been good all season.
I guess anything above they say anything above a 900 OPS.
His brother's pretty good too.
Anything above a 900 OPS is supposed to be elite, they say.
Okay, then
so it's elite, but it's not. It's just surprising to see his name as high as it is.
I'm saying elite as in. He's a top 15 hitter in the league.
Sure, yes.
He's not a top 5 hitter in the league.
Yes, yes, I agree with you there. Good call. Yeah.
So there's 5 guys who I think should be in the conversation in the American League. Trout, Donaldson, Betts. Who am I missing?
Altuve, Machado.
Machado and Altuve.
Lindor's having a nice year, too.
Who is?
Lindor's having
not
a nice
hitting,
year.
Not hitting, just fielding.
Let me see here.
His hitting is no bueno. He's a great fielder.
Yeah, I mean, his hitting, I wouldn't say no good. He's batting .319 with .364 OB. Odd base percentage,
but not MVP. Not MVP. Good.
No. He's the .352 wOBA. Yes, I agree with you there. He's a singles hitter.
Just like Adam Eaton is not an MVP hitter. He's an MVP fielder.
In right field, yeah. Yeah, he's 16th overall.
I'm saying those 5 guys. I'm saying you could say that like the other Seager or Cano should be talked about. Brian Dozier for the last place Twins. Have you been paying attention to this?
Yeah, I have been paying attention. He's got 33 home runs now or something like that.
Yeah, he is he's a monster in the second half. It's like that guy, he has nothing to lose.
No, he has 38 home runs. Wow.
I think he's like second in the league, right? To Mark Trumbo.
He's got good splits too. 9% walk rate to 17.
Dude, look at his WAR. Look at his WAR too.
Isolated power, yeah. His BABIP is .281 too. That's you know, 300's the line, so he's got a below-average BABIP.
Well, okay, if you're swinging for the fences, that means that some of them are going to get caught in the air.
That's true, yeah. 350 on base percentage, 576 slugging. His WOBA was 385.
Brian Dozier. Just like Freddie Freeman. I want you to look at Freddie Freeman's stats right now.
Freddie Freeman is having a nice year. 29 home runs.
I might tell you, 24% Freddie Freeman is having a better season than Daniel Murphy.
Let's see here. Yes, he is.
Isn't that crazy?
He's ahead of him in war.
Yeah.
Daniel Murphy is still got a 405 weighted on base average, though. I just don't. I don't know. You're right. These players can figure it out, and some players are late developers. I mean, off the top of my head, I could think of Jose Bautista as a late developer. I could think of, you know, guys who didn't really start to find their stride until their late 20s, early 30s.
Bautista is a – Joey Bats is an interesting one. That's a steroid
you
candidate.
You think that's a steroid that's candidate?
Look at him on the Pirates when he's, like, skinny infielding Joey doesn't bat.
He had a really weird batting stance, too.
I mean, some of these guys are late bloomers, but some of these guys are
Nelson
Luis
Cruz
Gonzalez.
Was, but Nelson Cruz got busted for roids now that I think about it.
Didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He was always a guy, because I remember when the Cubs had a guy named Brian LaHare.
Sure.
And I remember he came up as like a 29-year-old rookie.
You pull all of these like wilderness years Cubs names out.
Yeah. He had he was an all-star in the first half and then was just tanked in the second half. He couldn't hit lefties at all. And Anthony Rizzo, they brought up and just
it's
over
like a
totally
bad relationship.
Him.
You're like, oh yeah.
I liked him because he drew walks and he did hit for power. I always thought, well, he doesn't hit lefties because they never give him a chance to hit lefties, but really he just couldn't hit lefties. And he was a guy that came up at 29, and everyone was like, dude, he's 29. Is he really think he's gonna be a perennial all star?
Roy Hobbs.
And or 28. He was 28 actually. And I said, there have been stories of guys who come up around this age. I just said that
who are Cuban?
Yeah, some of them, right? But my
who
point
are Japanese.
Was Jim Hendry was the Cubs GM at the time. And I said, Jim Hendry's just a guy who didn't know when to get rid of aging players. That's why we had a bunch of young minor league players that went to waste. Like Derek Lee, we should have gotten rid of his last 2 years with the Cubs. He should not have been playing with the Cubs. They should have sold high on him, and they should have brought up Brian LaHare or Jake Fox to take over that position at some point.
I was mad when they got rid of Aramis.
Well, that was Theo Epstein's first move. Actually, Aramis had a 1 year. They picked up his 1 year option, and he declined it, though.
Okay.
The Cubs picked it up, but he could decline if he wanted. He declined it.
Where'd he go, Milwaukee?
Yeah, I went to Milwaukee.
And he was great.
For the first year and a half, but then the last year at Milwaukee was pretty bad. Mm. But his first year at Milwaukee, he had like a 900 OPS, and he looked really good.
Yeah.
But I get it. Like, Epstein was like, I'll pick you up for the one-year deal at $16 million, but I'm not extending you to a three-year deal at your age. And also, I heard he was a bad clubhouse guy.
Aramis?
He was lazy. People said he was just lazy and a bad example.
Huh.
Jake Peavy told me that.
Jake Peavy did?
Yeah. I met Jake Peavy outside of Timothy O'Toole's in downtown Chicago.
Really?
Yep. Was talking to him because he was friends with a waitress there. I hung out with him. I even went to his house that night.
What?
Seriously, we went to the lodge at 4
just
a.m.
You
bar
and him?
Off of Rush Street. No, it was like 12 of
I'm
us.
I'm kidding.
And Adam Dunn was part of the group.
Really?
Really good guy, Adam Dunn.
You hung out with Adam Dunn
and
Jake
Peavy. Yeah, and have both their phone numbers in my phone still.
And you've hung out with CM Punk.
CM Punk, yeah. Several members of the Chicago Blackhawks.
Man, why did I leave Chicago?
A lot of members of the show.
I could have been like hot shit in
That's
Chicago.
A time where you could do that, where it's like, oh, you're just a local comedian. You're cool. You could hang out with us. We're in L.A. or New York. I don't think I can hang out with like Yankees or Dodgers or Lakers or anything.
It was
but
me.
Chicago has that
it was
feel.
Me, it's Kershaw, like, Seager, and Scully. We were throwing back Jaeger
good
bombs.
Had a good time. And so Peavy was, because we were talking about, the Cubs were really bad that year. Castro was a rookie. And he said, or he was a young, maybe second year. Maybe it was 2011. And he was saying that...
first player born in the 90s to play.
He was. Yeah, this was definitely 2011. Peavy was saying that Castro could, I feel bad for him because his role models are Alfonso Soriano and Aramis Ramirez. And I go, are those bad dudes? He's like, no, I mean, they're good dudes. They're just, in a year in which you're not going to win anything, you don't want those as your leaders because they're going to be lazy. They're not going to care. How often do you see Alfonso Soriano run out of a ball? And I go, never. He never ran out a ball. Think about this Cubs team. Someone brought it up the other day. They go, the Cubs ground into very few double plays, and they're not like a speed team.
Respect 90.
Because they respect 90. They run their asses off out of the gate. That's why they're breaking up double plays. It's not like they're a team full of burners. They're a team full of very good base runners. Fowler, Baez, Bryant, Hayward are really, really good on the bases. They know how to read the pitch and do all that kind of stuff. They're overly aggressive, so sometimes you'll have Baez do something dumb, or Rizzo got picked off that one day totally crossed.
That was an anomaly.
That was so bad. But you just scratch your head and be like, you know, it's... In a 162-game season, even the best players are going to make a total boneheaded move.
Yeah.
But, yeah, team leadership's a big thing. And I remember thinking to myself
comfortable the White Sox have you and Dunn right now? I don't know. Those two, I thought those were great dudes, but Dunn was actually having that really historically bad year when I met them. And PV was like, he's going through a lot of personal stuff. And
is that what happened?
That's what PV was telling me. I didn't even ask about it. I didn't even want to talk baseball because you never want to be that guy.
So
if you meet Tom Hanks, you'd want to be like, tell me everything about acting, because he doesn't want to talk about that. Yeah. You'd want to approach him like he's a regular person, and then through that randomly,
what would I talk to Tom Hanks about other than acting, though?
You'd just be like, hey, man, good to meet you. Big fan. And
what do you think of this Trump?
And then, you could talk about other stuff with the guy. He's not one-dimensional. Maybe Hanks wasn't the
best
guy to bring
up. What is he like? I'm so nervous to meet him.
You're not going to meet Tom Hanks now.
What?
I've decided I'm
putting
him
called him over.
No.
He's in town.
He's not coming. All right, so when do you think Jose Bautista's first good year was, and what age?
Joey Bats.
And by first good year, let's say
2010, right? 2010.
Let's see, 2010 with Toronto.
Doesn't he hit like 50 bombs out of nowhere?
Yeah, he did. Oh my god. Oh my god, I'm complaining about Daniel Murphy. This is hilarious.
No, it's fucking stupid.
This is hilarious.
What was his career high in Pittsburgh, or his
16
season high?
16 in 2006.
Yeah.
But he played 400 at bats. 400 at bats, 16 home runs. Maybe over a course of a season that could get you into 22, 23.
He's quite possibly the most hated player, I guess, other than like Harper in the majors.
Like other players hating him, you mean?
Dude, when Odor...
I like him, man.
Okay, so Odor fucking jacks him in the face. Do you know how many people were like...
Yeah, that was good. He deserved that. Way to go, or when buddy. Harper got pegged, every time he got pegged, people were like, oh, that's...
Or he got choked by Papelbon.
So get this. So in 2009, his first year in Toronto... Played 113 games, 404 at bats, 13 home runs. In 2010, 161 games,
50 homers,
569 at bats, 54 home
54
runs.
54 from 16.
100 walks.
He's Brady Anderson.
OPS of .995. Next year, 43 home runs, led the league in home runs 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Had an OPS of 1.056, 608 slugging. Oh, the year before, he had 617 slugging and didn't lead the league. Damn, who led the league in 2010 in slugging in the American League?
Miggy.
17 didn't do it. Probably Miggy, yeah. It's always Miggy.
It's always Miggy.
Always Miggy. And then he went to 27 home runs, 28, 35, 40 last year, and he has 17
or
this
Chris
year.
Davis could have done it.
Chris Davis is a late bloomer who's multiple times now, three of the last 4 years?
Trumbo.
Trumbo.
Wasn't supposed to do this, but Joey Bats was an anomaly.
See, a guy like Trumbo, though, is a guy who always finished with about 25 home runs. Right,
not 16 to 54.
Yeah, I mean, I could see
54.
Exactly, I could see a guy from going from 25 home runs. Because look at Andre Dawson, his 49. High was 32, and then went to 49. But that was different, though.
Day
that was
games,
injuries, AstroTurf.
Yeah,
Andre Dawson had a lot of years in Montreal where he was an all-star, but still only had 130 games. He was on the DL constantly.
Right.
They said he had 10 surgeries on his knees throughout his career. And yeah, so to go to that fresh grass and
I don't have his number.
Games,
I don't have
rejuvenated
his,
him.
I don't have Dawson's number in my phone, but I got a picture of me.
You
with
went
him.
For that. I mean, yeah, I was at a no hitter. David Ross is a hilarious comedian and all that stuff. But you have a picture with Andre Dawson, so I think technically
I
you
just
win.
I got to be really jealous of you for like a few stories there.
You win, man. My little brother Sean, the birthday boy, met Kerry Wood. Got a picture with him and Kerry Wood. That's pretty cool. Because his high school, St. Pat's, played at Kerry Wood's field that he built at Lane Tech.
Would you rather hang out with Mark Grace or Ryan Sandberg?
Mark Grace. I think it'd be more fun.
Not a Hall of Famer?
You said hang out with.
Who would I
rather have dinner or lunch with? Sandberg? Hanging out?
Grace is going to tell you better stories no matter what.
Grace invented the slump buster.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Mark Grace was a very popular player in the 90s.
They know.
Who was a three-time All-Star, three- or four-time All-Star. Led the league in hits in the 90s.
Number 17.
Which will never be retired under his name because Chris Bryant, after 2 years, already has eclipsed him as far as Cubs rankings
go. You wear that 1-7, you got to have beautiful eyes.
Man, they are both blue-eyed babes. And he invented the slump buster, which means if you're in a slump as a player, you're going through one of those 1-for-30 spells, what you do to get out of it.
How do you get
slump.
Out of it, Joe?
You go to the bar.
Yeah.
You find the ugliest, the most disgusting, fattest, I think he
and
said,
and you give her
there,
a compliment.
And you say, you look beautiful, sweetheart, after she leaves your place in the morning because you just had gross sex with her.
You know what's so funny about that? Now, it just occurred to me. Mark Grace was a millionaire baseball player, athlete, handsome guy.
Yeah, he was a good-looking
dude. I bet these slump busters a lot of people we know would kill to be with.
Yeah, some people are like, that's so insulting to them. I'm like, that's the best sex they've ever had, probably.
A lot of these hoodie-wearing comics out on town like can't get the worst chick that Grace could get.
Yeah, but how weird that must have been to be at that bar. If you're a hot girl, if you're like a hot chick at that bar, Mark Grace walks in, you're hot, you're single, you're
whatever,
like,
Mark Grace,
I'm going to go hook up with Mark Grace. Mark Grace blows right by you with your 36, 24, 36, and just like, bye, walks right past her and goes to the girl that's, you know, 52, 48, 50, I don't know, I'm making up numbers here.
Aren't you supposed to like neg the hot chick and then like talk to her like gross friend
you're
or
supposed
something?
To be sweet to the girlfriend. Maybe he was being sweet to the hot friend and negging the ugly one.
Yeah, it's like
we got to get Mark Grace on his podcast.
We got to know.
My whole thing was.
Or he'd just snap his fingers and like Chicago Northside trash girls would come crawling.
He could be.
You probably couldn't drink on the Northside back then. You probably had to go to like Rush.
It depends if it was pre-98 or post-98. To me, 98 is what was the turning point.
In Wrigleyville?
Yes, because I remember being at a game.
He's doing a lot of slump busters, 89 to 98.
Yeah, in 97, I want to say, I was at a Cubs game. It was a night game with a friend, and we were hanging out afterwards trying to get autographs or something. Remember the Cubs had this catcher, Steve Lake?
Oh, my God.
And they had two Lakes. I don't know if this is different. Anyway, I remember he was a bald guy. He was crossing the street, and we were at the McDonald's, I think, waiting for like my friend's dad to come
that
pick us up
McDonald's.
Or something. And I yelled, "Hey, Lake," because I remembered it was him, and he just waved at us, and he ran right into the Cubby Bear for a beer.
Wow.
And I have friends who work at Murphy's.
Bleachers?
Murphy's Bleachers, the bar right behind Wrigley Field. And they said that players every now and then would come in, but it's not like all the old guys who used to work at Murphy's would pass down stories to them being like, these guys would come in after every game and drink with the fans. And then after 98, with Sammy Sosa hitting those bombs.
Yeah, yeah. I got you crazy.
The team was really good. Yeah, because then the Cubs, that's when it really went up a level. Where the Cubs were always super popular, but they would sell out summer games, July and August. Tickets would be pretty sold out.
Did Harry die?
Harry died just before 98 season. 97 was his last season.
Okay, what? So
Kerry Wood
just
striking out
Sosa
guys.
Sosa McGuire thing changed.
Sosa
everything?
McGuire, Kerry Wood, and the Cubs were good for the first time since 89.
Wood
Arnie
strikes
Harris
out
was
20.
Showing babes in the bleachers wearing bikini tops. It became a big.
He'd
thing.
Been doing that my
and,
whole life.
And
though.
The Lincoln Park neighborhood.
Arnie's been showing babes my whole life though.
And the neighborhood really fully went gentrified.
Okay.
Someone told me, I read a thing once that said like in 89 when the Cubs went to the playoffs, there was like 38 liquor licenses in the square mile around Wrigley. Now there was like 1,300.
Yeah.
It's just, it went, before there was like four or five bars. Now it's bar, 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 across the street, bar, 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 hot dog joint, bar, 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 buy a t-shirt here, bar, bar. It's insane. And that all came about in like the decade of the 90s.
I lived like Southport and Byron. I moved there in 2003.
By the way, you're going to be sad about the Southport corridor now. They yuppified it to an extreme. Laundry Bar's gone. Newport Bar and Grill, they shut that down. Or they shut it down or just closed it. Justin's, I heard, is getting closed. They're just like knocking down all the
Justin's
cool bars.
Justin's is great.
All the cool like bars that kind of made that neighborhood like, oh, this is
so it's gotten too
not
much.
As bad as like, you know, this isn't John Barleycorn over here. It's cool, right?
Fucking
now they're knocking it down and it's really going in a bad way.
Is Toons still there? Please tell me Toons is still
Toons
there.
I think Toons is still there. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. We got to wrap up by talking about a few other things here in baseball. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I'm looking at the time and I'm like, man, we've talked a lot about just random Cubs nonsense and everything like that. In the American
League.
Guess who's
good? The Cubs.
They're the best team in baseball. So, yeah, they're going to get talked about like that. I actually, some of the sites I read that do power rankings, they like their explanation for the Cubs is just like, duh. Like, they're just like, like, yeah, they're number one in the power rankings. They have 89 wins. The next closest team in the NL has 78. I think the Nationals are 79.
They have 89 wins with like 24 games to go.
I know. Remember I texted that thing to you at the when they had 30 games left in the season, they had 85 wins. And I said, if the Cubs go 500 down the stretch, they'll win 100 games. I think since I've said that, they're 5-1.
Yeah, man. It's
they're going to win 105
you
games.
You don't get to win the World Series by, I mean, look at the Cardinals last year. I understand.
No, I get that. I mean, I got to look this up too. What was the last team to have the best regular season record and win the World Series?
Yeah, I'm sure that it's better than we.
Royals had the best record in the American League last year and won the World Series.
But they didn't win 100 games.
No, they won 97. It's pretty close.
Same as the Cubs.
What about the...
I don't know if it's happened in the wild card era. There are... I mean, that would be interesting to look up. I do want to know that.
Didn't the White Sox win 99 games that's in when you,
that's when you get. That's when you get on there and see who had the best record, like that thing that you got mad that you saw?
Yeah.
I mean... The Braves. The... What is it? The 96 Braves.
I guarantee there's a team closer. Team with best record seldom wins World Series. Let's click on this article. This is from 2011. Come on, man.
Well, if you look, so in 12 and 14, the Giants won.
Get this, before divisions, this is interesting. 1903 to 1968, 57% of the team with the most wins in the regular season wins the World Series.
Because it was the Yankees, those was 57%.
Yeah, I mean, but still, because it was before divisions too, so there wasn't playoffs. You just went to the World Series. So 57% is, I mean, it's more than half. Because you had a 50% chance. The team with the best record had a 50-50 chance of winning the
sure.
World Series.
Yeah, yeah.
So now I'm just trying to break it out because this is new information. I get the math.
I was so mean to you via text this week when I was talking about the magic number.
Yeah, and you're like, well, that's how magic numbers work. I only responded so Dwyer and McGowan would realize the Cardinals hadn't played yet. Because the Cardinals, you wrote magic numbers 14 or 15, and I said, well, if the Cardinals lose, it'll be this number. And
13.
You're like, yes, that's how that works.
You said, yes, that's precisely how that works.
I was just saying that to let everyone know that the Cardinals could still lose that night. Yeah, and you also brought up to me when I brought up the fact that the Cubs had three of the top five RBI leaders in the NL, and you were like, what do I give a shit about RBI?
No, I said RBI, what's that?
Yeah, I said RBI, what's that?
I almost didn't send this because of
I did,
just that
yes,
because
I knew you were going to say like RBIs don't matter, but I was really sending it for the point of how cool is it to see how often you see three players on one team in the top five in any stat.
It's amazing.
Let alone RBIs, which is a stat of opportunity.
There is a subtext to our group, though, because like you are sending stuff sometimes specifically to the two other people on
yes.
our group. I know that.
No, I know you know that, and you like to phone me. It's great. All right, so 1969 to 1993, there's an LCS, League Championship Series, but no League Division Series, so mm-hmm. one less playoff round. 28%, the team with most wins in the regular season would win the World Series. That was 7 out of 25 times. That seems pretty good because that's above – if there's only four teams in the playoffs then, two on each side.
Yeah.
You have a 1-4 shot, a little bit better than 1-4. Okay, this is all making a lot of sense now, though. 95 to 2010, the current, only 19% the team with the most wins in the regular season would win the World Series. That was 3 out of 16. So it has happened within the last, you know, between 95 to 2010. This article is in 2011, so I don't have the stats from the last 5 or 6 years.
Okay.
But, yeah. Oh, the Yankees in 09, they had the most wins. They won 103 wins, and they won the World Series. And the Red Sox in 07 had 96 wins, and they won the World Series.
Okay.
And then before that, it was the Yankees in 98.
I was going to say, the 98 Yankees are...
It's tougher now.
...like the gold standard for like our lifetime as a team.
It's tougher now. I just wouldn't... If your team has the best record overall and you're thinking, ooh, that's not a good sign, don't read into it. It's nothing. It's just, yeah, you want your team to get hot at the right time and everything.
You just got
to
win 11.
Yeah, you just got to win 11. And what are we saying? We don't want our team to have the best record in the regular season?
I didn't want him to have 117 wins.
I didn't want that either because there's been recent history has been like, ew, that's not so good.
Even though that has nothing to do with anything.
It still doesn't.
It just seems like you'd be exerting yourself too much if you are going to be winning that type of... Here's what I want them to do. I want them to clinch the division in the next week. I want them to clinch home field advantage after that.
In a week? You think they're going to do it in a week?
Their magic number is 10.
Yeah.
That's...
You know, it's so funny. I knew
maybe not in a week. Maybe like a week from now, their magic number will be like 3 to 4.
It probably will be. It'll be in striking distance. I remember before the season started, thinking, okay, I'm going to be at the Cubs Cardinals game September 23rd. That could be a game they could clinch. And now it's like, I'm going to be watching the fucking D team. They're going to be so ahead. I'll be lucky if Brian and Rizzo are even in the game. I mean, they're
all. But here's the thing: the D team wants it more than. The guys who need rest and who are thinking about...
Yeah, because they're trying to get playoff roster.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? They're trying to shape up for that. Who do you like in the AL Central? You think the Indians are going to wrap it up? I mean, the Tigers are coming on fast.
It's still the Indians, recently, though, right? The Indians pitching had like a 6 ERA in August, and they seem to be turning it around slightly.
Yeah, look at the wild card pitcher. Let's wrap it up by talking about the wild card pitcher of the American League.
Okay.
You got Boston in game up, and Baltimore and Detroit are tied. By the way, real quickly... I got to go back because I don't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure I liked Boston and Detroit making the playoffs in our preseason special.
I think you did like Detroit. I don't know if you said Detroit.
I remember saying I liked Detroit. And I remember getting the looks from you.
Mine were, I picked Toronto, Kansas City, and Texas. And then I took Houston and Cleveland in the wild cards.
It's pretty good. You're looking pretty good.
I'm looking okay.
Houston is definitely not. And what? The Royals are definitely not.
What?
Oh, no. Houston's not going to. Well, no, they're two games back. What am I talking about? I glanced right
they
over.
They were my wild
How
cards.
How about the Yankees? Only 3.5 back.
They have nothing to lose.
I would love it if they got in.
They have nothing to lose.
I would so love it.
They're not going to. They're too. They play that. Like I said last week, that division plays each other so often.
Yeah.
They all have, like, you know,
it's just
tons
not, it's
of games
not,
against each
it's
other.
It's not likely, but if it happened, it wouldn't be that surprising. Teams have overcome a 3.5 game deficit with 26 games to go many
sure.
times before. Kansas City's 4 back. Seattle's 5. Seattle's above 500. Man, there's a lot of teams above 500 in the American League. You got 1, 2, 3, 4,
I like,
5, 6,
I like
seven,
the fact that the Astros
8, 9, 10.
And Mariners and
all the White Sox.
Royals and
Sorry,
Tigers
Dylan.
Get to play bad teams.
Sorry, Herb. White Sox, 65 and 72. Angels 62 and 75. They're about a few games apart. Teams like the Angels and the White Sox have some stars, but as a team, you look and you're just like, no.
I would love to have Sale and Quintana as my like
right?
1-2.
And wouldn't you love to have Trout and Pujols as your 3-4?
Yes,
of course. That's what I mean. I think the Angels. I think Mike Trout, Pujols, and they definitely have no pitching or bullpen.
Well,
but
Shoemaker kind of got nailed in the head.
Yeah, and the opening day starter got injured like a week into the season too.
Yeah.
Richards.
Yeah.
And then the White Sox have maybe Quintana and Sale, are they the best 1-2? Or
Cueto Bad Bum.
Yeah, they're up there though. They are definitely up there. Sales
No, I mean they probably are the best 1-2 in the majors.
I think last time I checked, the American League WAR leader was Sale.
He
passed Quintana.
Yeah. I'm still so giving that side a
I give it to Sale.
Kluber right now.
Oh, Kluber?
Yeah.
That's fair.
He was their only consistent pitcher.
That's
like,
true.
Yeah,
you're right. You're right. And with Casales are to DL time, Carrasco's out, and they had another starter who missed a little time, and he's been consistently
Bauer.
There. He's been the anchor. He's been the anchor, as they like to say.
Yeah, he's been great.
All right. Well, yeah, I mean, it's going to be shaping up. It's going to be fun, right? The wild card in the American League, I'm really excited about. I'm excited about the NL, too, because that's
who
the Cubs could face.
Plus that East.
Ooh, that East is sexy.
Four teams, right?
Toronto, Baltimore, Boston, the Yankees. You're right.
They all play each other. They all play each other. So weird.
Tampa Rays are the only just gross team in that whole East at 15.
And they have the best ERA in the second half.
Are they ever
going to
move?
They should.
Gun to head, what city do you take them to?
Do they have to stay in the East?
I thought about this. If they had to stay in the East, here's what I would do. I would move the Tampa Bay Rays.
Memphis. Memphis is a great city.
Would they support a baseball team?
Nashville.
Well, I was thinking Nashville or Indianapolis, right? I would move if you move them to Nashville, they could stay in the East because Eastern time. If you move them to Indianapolis, here's what I do: I take the Indians and put them in the AL East, which makes the AL East really scary good. But then if you put Indianapolis.
When
is
I was
like
growing up, the Indians were in the AL East.
Yeah, well, there you go. The Indians. Indianapolis as a city is top 10 in population, I believe, maybe 11th or 12th. They have about 1 million people, so they definitely have the population to support a baseball team. And that has a natural rivalry with the White Sox and Tigers are both in striking distance of driving for people.
Yeah.
And Cleveland would be too, but you would have to balance out
like
the division.
Or like an interleague series with the Cubs or the Reds.
I mean,
you
could go across Illinois into Missouri to go see the Royals. And then, Cubs interleague and Reds interleague would be big too.
I like it.
I like it for geographic standpoint.
I like Nashville, though.
Nashville works, too, for Cincinnati people going up and from Atlanta fans, Braves fans going
up. The Trop is just a shithole embarrassment. No one goes.
It's ugly. It looks ugly on TV. When you have a stadium that looks ugly on TV, that's
bad. What color is your grass, Tampa?
I don't know. What's your article on Scoreboard Sports? Plug it, and then we got to wrap this thing up.
Angelino in the outfield. And this week I was talking about September races and why at that point I thought the Royals were going back to the playoffs.
Ah, yeah. Well, you never know. It's going to be a wild ride, kids. A wacky wild ride. That was a really bad impression of Johnny Carson.
I liked it.
I half-assed tried to do. I'm going to be on Punch Drunk Sports today. Check that out. I'm going to be sitting in with them. They're live on YouTube. You're not going to hear this live. I'm putting this up. This will be up around dinner time. And Thursday, Megan Gailey and I will be doing our NFL preview. I'm also going to be doing a fantasy football thing where I go live every Sunday on Facebook before the games start.
I made a little commercial thing for that. I think you guys
tell me right now who's winning the wild cards
in baseball.
Yeah,
Cardinals, Giants,
and then
and the American League. I like Boston, Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Yeah, I think Toronto wins the division.
All right, fine.
Could be wrong, but you just got into my head. I had to be quick with the
answers. I know you were.
All right, thanks for listening to Comedians Talking Sports presents Comedians Talking Baseball.